Sandy, good morning, everybody. My name is Frank True, and I am the chair of the Cosmetology, Hair Design, Barbering, Aesthetics, and Manicuring Advisory Board. It is now 10:03 a.m. on Thursday, July 27th, 2023, and we are currently waiting for a quorum. However, we want to be able to be respectful of all the attendees that are on this call, and we'd like to continue forward with sort of the session here, but it won't be an official meeting until we do receive quorum. What I'd like to do is I'd like to be able to continue on to be able to share the topics, and once we do receive quorum, then we'll initiate the official board meeting. One of the things I'd like to be able to do is just as a courtesy, we want to remind the board members not to engage in conversations with the observers when we're listening to any comments. And as a courtesy, we want to encourage all the participants to mute themselves when you're not speaking to reduce the background noise. One challenge is just to remember to unmute yourself when you are speaking. And we'd like to be able to make sure that we capture the information correctly. So if you are speaking, just state your name when you're making a comment. So we'll go ahead and we will move to, we're going to bypass agenda item number 2 for the roll call, and also agenda number 3 for the approval of the agenda minutes here. And Sandy, shall we go into number 5 here to be able to introduce the new director?
Yes, that's great. Let's go ahead and advance to slide number item 5. We are very excited to introduce our new director to you. Our new director is Mr. Marcus Glasper. He was born and raised in Louisiana. He has a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering and a master's in engineering management. He has over 30 years of public sector experience, and he comes to the Department of Licensing from the Washington State Lottery, and we're very excited to introduce him to you today. Director Glasper, would you like to say a few words?
Sure. Thank you very much. I think you said all about what I was going to say, so I appreciate it. I probably don't have too much more to say. But good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to introduce myself. I'm elated to be here with a part of your board meeting. As was said, my name is Marcus Glasper. I use he, him pronouns. I've been in my role now for about 4 months. I'm coming up on that 6-month mark where you can no longer claim that you're new, but I'm going to take advantage of it for at least 2 more months. Also, as mentioned, I am Southern grown, hailing from the state of Louisiana, where I was reared and got my undergraduate degree in mechanical engineering. It's not what I'm doing now, obviously. But I moved, what brought me to Washington State is I moved to the Tri-Cities shortly after graduating to work for the Department of Energy at the Hanford Nuclear Cleanup Site. So if you are familiar with that, it's one of the largest nuclear cleanup sites in the nation. I'm not sure if I'm glowing yet or not, but that was a great experience for me, having worked there for about 10 years. And then after that, I joined Washington State government in 2003. I've moved around a bit over the last 20 years, and licensing is now my fourth agency with the state of Washington. So 30 years in the public sector, it's taken me some interesting places, from nuclear waste to prisons to taxes to gambling and now to licensing. But what I just wanted to kind of convey is that, you know, all of these experiences, however, have really grounded me in public service. And I would not just believe that to be my calling. And I think licensing is truly a great fit for me as we touch the lives of almost every Washingtonian and every resident in this state. So. But as you can imagine, I'm still in the learning phase as the breadth of the licensing's mission is quite extensive. Over the next couple of years, my plan is to sort of step back and evaluate the agency's strategic framework. Want to kind of put some of my focus on preparing the agency for future stability, seeing how we can better support Washington's traffic safety platform. Clearly, we want to do what we can to support our businesses and professions in this state, because that is really part of our mission to make sure that everyone can live, work, drive, and thrive. And certainly the business and professions area is a central part of ensuring that thrive piece. And a couple of other areas, really looking at the customer experience, focusing on a diverse, equitable, and inclusive culture, and internally looking at what we can do from an operational excellence standpoint. So that's just me in a nutshell. I don't want to take up any more time on your important agenda, but I do want to thank you for your service to this board, your profession, and the residents of Washington in establishing to help our licensees, as well as ensuring safe and equitable practices for the public. So enjoy the rest of your meeting, and it's great to meet all of you.
Well, Director Glasper, thank you so much for joining us, and we're excited to be able to have you with DLL here and to be under your leadership. So we're grateful for that. I see that we have, I believe we have a quorum now based on my, based on the attendee list right here. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to be able to officially call this meeting to order. The time is 10:10 a.m. on Thursday, July 27th, 2023. And I wanted to acknowledge that this meeting is open to the public. We're going to take time at the end of the meeting for a brief public comment period. Participants will have no more than 3 minutes to address the board if there are topics that you'd like to be able to share. As a reminder, board members are not to engage in conversation with the observers when listening to public comments. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and invite Sandra to be able to do a roll call to confirm the attendance of all the board members. Once she's called your name, if you could please respond verbally here or present to confirm your attendance. So I'll defer it over to Susan and Sandra.
Thank you. And can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Perfect. Thank you. And Chair True.
I'm present.
Thank you. Vice Chair Garcia.
Present.
Thank you. Board Member Reyes Nygaard.
Present.
Thank you. Board Member Merklin.
Present.
Thank you. Board Member Martin.
Present.
Thank you. Board Member Rice.
Present.
Thank you. Board Member Olsha.
Present.
Thank you. And just a reminder, I'm getting a lot of feedback. So if you are not currently speaking, could you mute your microphone? Excuse me. And then just unmute whenever it is time for you to make a comment. Thank you. And then Board Member Wilkins. And Board Member Thomas?
Present.
Perfect, thank you. And did I miss Board Member Wilkins, or are you absent? Or are they absent, I should say? I'm hearing none, so I'm going to go ahead and mark that as an absent. And thank you. Back to you, Chair True.
All right, thank you so much. So we're going to go ahead and move into some administrative items here. I'd like to move to agenda item number 3 for the approval of the agendas. If I'd like to be able to request a motion to approve the July 27th, 2023 agenda that we'll be discussing today. So do I have a motion?
This is Sylvia. I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Right. So thank you very much, Sylvia. I have a motion on the table. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. And could you please state your name?
Shauna.
Oh, Shauna. Thank you very much, Shauna. So we have a motion. We also have a second. Are there any discussions? All right. Hearing none, I'd like to call ask for all those in favor of approving the agenda item. Say aye.
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 Great. Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. Do we have somebody that just opposed? Okay. Not hearing clarification, I believe that those are all that are in support of the agenda. Any abstaining? Hearing none. All right. So the motion to be able to approve today's agenda is so moved here. So we go ahead and we're moving to the approval of the minutes. I'd like to be able to request a motion to approve the minutes. These are from the April 27th, 2023 meeting that we had. Board members provided a copy of the minutes to review prior to the meeting. And so I'm looking for a motion to approve these minutes.
I'm Shauna, and I'll approve the minutes. A motion to approve. Sorry.
Thank you so much, Director Martin. And so we have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it. This is Jerry.
All right. Thank you very much, Jerry. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and all those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? So the approval of minutes is passed here. So we will go ahead and move on to agenda item number 7. There are no old business. So we're going to move on to the endorsement of licensees. I'll defer over to Sandy for the staff to provide an update on the endorsements of licenses.
Thank you, Chair True. I believe this is based on one of the public comments we received from not the last meeting, but the meeting prior about being able to list endorsements on professional licenses. And I think this stems from the ability of instructor licenses. They list endorsements of what areas they are authorized to teach. Now, some of the instructors have been using this as their professional license, and that's not exactly what this was intended for. So professional licenses and instructor licenses fall under separate different types. However, if someone has multiple professional licenses, they can choose a combined license print that will show their license number and license type on one license. And this is equivalent to listing endorsements on a professional license. So in the future, if anyone would like to have that type of license where it was just one license that lists what your professional licenses are underneath that, that's something that they can choose under the combined license print. And with that, are there any questions?
I actually have a couple questions here. So I know that, and then I see Shauna also has a question as well. And if board members, if any of you do have questions, just do the virtual hand raise and leave it up. And then therefore we can go ahead and get to your questions here. So I'm going to go ahead and my question really is that you mentioned that the instructor's license are only an endorsement to be able to say that they're able to teach. But I think that in practice, my understanding over the years is that it's been treated as a professional license, or that's the understanding of many instructors here in our state. So with this clarification here, is there anything that the currently licensed instructors need to do to allow them to both be recognized to teach in a school environment and also to be able to perform services in the salons and spas?
That's a great question. And I can take that back to our licensing team and I can get back to you on that.
Okay, great. All right. Shauna, I saw that you did have your hand raised. Was there a follow-up question or did you still have a question that you'd like to propose?
Yeah, thanks, Frank. It was kind of piggybacking on what you just said. But then to circle back to what was stated first. So if they apply for the combined license, is that like a higher fee? And is that available immediately or no?
It's my understanding that it is a print option. So I I'm not exactly sure what the differences in fees would be. And again, I can take that to the licensing unit and I can come back and report out on this at the next meeting as well.
Okay, and then one more thing. Then how does the state differentiate the difference between a license that's just endorsing teachers to teach scopes of practice versus this is a license to operate and work? Like, how is the license appeared differently to signify that, or?
Great questions. Thank you. Yep, and I'm taking all these questions down and I'll be prepared to report out at the next meeting on this as well.
Okay, thank you.
And, you know, if you're taking questions too, I think that one other important question to ask is that when it comes to reciprocity to other states as well, I know that, you know, typically the reciprocity agreements are license for license. And I know that in the past, these have come up where instructors have moved to different states, but they'd like to be able to ensure their endorsement or their license allows them to practice. And so maybe we could clarify the process in which those are being handled as well. And then maybe on the next board call, because I know that this is going to affect a number of people that hold instructor's licenses, because to my knowledge, like this is different than what we've understood for probably decades.
Right. These are all fantastic questions. And I'm going to insert real quick here that if you called into the meeting and are on a cell phone, if you could please mute your cell phone, we're getting a lot of feedback and it's difficult to hear. Thank you so much. If there are any other questions, I'm happy to take them down and I'll be prepared to have a better and more in-depth report out at our next meeting. And then if you think of any questions after this meeting, please email them to our DOL inbox, and I'll make sure that they're added to the report out for the next meeting.
And I see that Director Shauna Martin still has her hand up. I'm not sure if this is from the original one or if there's an additional question.
I'm sorry. I just didn't unclick it.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. No, that's perfect.
Again, if you called in to the meeting, would you please mute your cell phone? We're getting a lot of feedback.
Okay. All right. So I think that on this agenda item right here from the endorsements of licensee, I think that we appreciate the update and thank you for going back to be able to get us to grab those questions there. Let's go ahead and move on to agenda item number 7.2, which is the renewal fees for retired cosmetologists. And I know that this item itself, this item is assigned to the business practice subcommittee, and the business practice subcommittee just had their initial meeting last week. And then they also have a follow-up meeting. I believe that this will continue to be able to, sit on that committee's discussion items. And once we have some updates, I'll go ahead and ask the subcommittee to be able to report back out on that. And that was based on a question from public comment. So members of the public that are on this call, you know, the questions that you ask are really important. It does drive the work products for the committees here. And so we encourage you to continue to be able to post topics that are important to you. We'll move on to agenda item number 7.3, which is the candidate information booklet for the CIB. And I know that the staff submitted the proposed updated CIBs to the education subcommittee for their feedback. And I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Sandy to be able to give us an update on that.
Thank you so much. We have submitted the proposed feedback from the education subcommittee. We've submitted those both to DL Roop and to NIC. The education subcommittee will probably want to report out on this, so I don't want to go into too much depth and steal their thunder when they do their report out later in the meeting. Our next step is to submit a summary of these changes to the schools and to the apprentice shops, and communication will start probably next week on that. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
And Sandy, could you give, I know that there's, I believe the school members that are on the calls here that are pretty tied in with the schools have a pretty good understanding of the CIBs. Could you just give a quick like high level update for all everybody else so they understand what the CIB is?
Oh, sure. The CIBs, did you want me to like list what some of the changes are or?
Oh, no. I think just a real high level of like, you know, it's based on like basic for it's the booklet, right? For licensure, right? Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the CIB is the candidate information booklet. And it provides like step-by-step instructions about what is going to be tested, how it's going to be tested. And it explains for the candidates who want to go into the exams, how they can be best prepared. So we'll be sending the updated changes out to the schools and to the apprenticeships. We'll include a summary of what those changes are, actually beginning next week. We're working on that communication with the education subcommittee right now.
Yeah. And the, for members of the public that may not be aware, so these are really critical, especially on the school side, as this is a foundation in how we train our students to be able to pass the written, also the practical exam. So it's pretty critical to the training we provide students. We're going to go ahead and move on to agenda item number 7.4. It's House Bill 1017. It's the implementation plan. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Sandy to give us an update on that.
Thank you, Chair True. As you may recall, House Bill 1017 allows for candidate and students to test within 100 hours of them completing their coursework. So as of right now, every single eligible student and apprentice has been referred to DL Roop within the testing system, and they are able to schedule their exams. The department will continue in communicating with the schools and the apprentice programs throughout the remainder of this process to make sure it goes smoothly, remains going smoothly, and from here on out, we have the ability to make sure every eligible student has the capacity, well, has the ability to log in and get scheduled for those exams. Very exciting stuff. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Okay, thank you.
So I don't see any hands coming up. We'll go ahead and move to on agenda number 7.5 on the recruitment update. And Sandy?
Excellent. Thank you so much. As you know, we are have an ongoing recruitment going for a public member. We have not had any public members apply for this position yet. So starting in October of 2023, we will have 5 additional board members whose terms will expire. So we will be combining our public member recruitment with that recruitment for those 5 board members. But we'd also like to say if there are any board members who are currently serving and their term is due to expire, we would love to have you submit a letter of interest. And in that letter of interest, we would like you to describe what you've done to support the board so far during your current term, how you plan to support the board going forward if you are appointed to an additional term. We'd really be excited to hear from you. And so with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Sandy, I have a question here. So for those those seats that are currently up for that are going to be up in 2023 here, can you go over which seats those are so members of the public understand if they may have an interest that they can submit their or if they know somebody that would represent their voice? To be able
absolutely,
to submit that in there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. As I stated before, we have one position for a public member, and the public member criteria is someone who is a consumer of but not affiliated with any industry within the cosmetology field. We have one vocational school. We have one cosmetologist, one manicurist, one barber, and one master esthetician. I'd also like to say that we plan on doing some outreach to business resource groups, to additional organizations that might have interest in serving. We've already reached out to the Latin Leadership Network, and we're really excited about having all these different opportunities and avenues available to us in this recruitment. So hopefully I'll have some great news to share in October. And yes, Board Member Martin, I see that you have your hand up.
Yeah, hi. So just a quick question about the public seat. I think I read in the description it has to be a public person that has zero affiliation with the beauty industry. Is that correct?
That's correct. It is a consumer of, but not associated with or affiliated with in any way anyone in the cosmetology or beauty industry.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
Absolutely.
And I see two virtual hands up, but I'm not able to see who they are. I don't know, Sandy, if you're able to see that and acknowledge them to invite them to their question. Or
sure. Cosmetology Advisory Board meeting guest. Do you have a question?
This is Board Member Lacey Reyes-Nygaard. My question was, with one of those positions that are available, I heard master esthetician, barber, and cosmetologist. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. Have you guys thought of even going to the beauty colleges and posting a sign for those who may want to be involved and are in the process of getting their license or have already graduated? I think it would be a great way for people to get involved who want to be involved.
That's a great idea. And each board member that is associated in the industry needs to have a minimum of 3 years experience in their field.
Great. Any other questions?
Okay, thank you. Oh, you're welcome. Any other questions? We're very excited about this recruitment.
And Sandy, if they wanted to be able to reach out because they know somebody or they themselves are interested, how would they go about doing that?
That's a fantastic question. If you know anyone who might be interested in serving on the board, even as the public member, please have them email our DOL inbox. You'll see it at the bottom of the slide at the end of this slideshow. And just send an inquiry and we can make sure that they have the application that they need and all the resources that they need to apply.
Great. I don't see any more hands up. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to move on to our agenda item number eight under reports under the subcommittee. So we're going to go ahead and dive into the education subcommittee to be able to give an update on the work that's been happening and also on the medical nail technician licensure and the outreach of the public members to the public regarding House Bill 1017. So, you know, both Sylvia and I and also Shauna serve on this education subcommittee, and I wanted to give a quick update on House Bill 1017. Sandy had given, had shared with all of you regarding the implementation plan that's rolled out. I know that during the rollout, a number of schools, many of which are on this call, had reached out to both Sylvia and myself regarding some of the surprise that they had regarding its implementation. I think that the first and most important thing is one is to acknowledge the Department of Licensing for its implementation. In the language that the schools had proposed, it was optional. And, but we were really hoping that we could implement 1017 to be able to assist students, to be able to get their licenses earlier and to be able to, get jobs quicker and to enter into the workforce to be with the salons and the spas. Now, during that time when schools had reached out, they were very surprised and fairly frustrated, too, at how quickly it was implemented without pulling all the voices together. I can tell you areas for our subcommittee, we were actually very surprised as well. And as we worked through the process, we realized that the reason why it was rolling out without the input was there was a breakdown in communication with the new board setups. And it's just not specific to the cosmetology board here. It was actually there's with the new board setup, there is a implementation process that needed to be, I don't know, solidified, I think, on communication. And so we, as a subcommittee, we worked as close as we could with the Department of Licensing to be able to roll it out. As all the schools know on here, it was rolled out last week. And with any rollout, you know, there are some follow-up advisement emails that were happening. And I think that in the long run, it's gonna be really great for our students and really great for the industry. But there was a lot of lessons in there, and I just wanted to take this opportunity just to publicly acknowledge that and the inquiries that were reached out. I think that one of the benefits is that we've learned a lot through that process, and which has really helped us with sort of the pacing and the implementation of the CIB's updates that we're rolling out. And I think that time frame is going to be there's a longer runway on that one, which will allow for a lot of communication and to be able to coordinate between the changes and what we need to do for our students there. So I just wanted to be able to acknowledge that. I'm going to go ahead and open it up if there's any questions for the subcommittee on that, regarding House Bill 1017 that we can answer, but please let us know. Okay. I'm not seeing any hands raised or any questions there. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Vice Chair Garcia and also Board Member Martin to talk about the NIC testing information. And I'll turn it over to both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sylvia, were you going to go first?
Sorry, I was going to let you go first, but I can do either.
Oh. Okay, well, we're talking about the CIBs. We wanted to let the public know that we did go through the proposed changes and the verbiage and the language with a fine-tooth comb, comparing word for word, page for page, number for number, bullet for bullet. And what we ultimately came to find was that a lot of it was just a condensed condensed version of the words that were being used. And then there was, like, for example, they took out the words in every single thing in safety and infection control procedure, and they put it into one bullet so that it's shorter and easier to read. But most of the changes make sense, and I don't think that there's a lot for people to When it is released and rolled out, I don't think that there's a lot for people to be too concerned with, because there wasn't a lot of red flags when we were looking through it. So we wanted to ensure that people are, that they know that they should not be uncomfortable when it comes out, and just to try to embrace it, and accept the new format the way it is, because it's solid.
Thank you, Shauna. I'm going to just add that a couple highlights that were changed, and I believe for the better, is the relaxer is specified that it's a no-base relaxer now, which clarifies some questions that I think we've all had, and also the eyebrow waxing and tweezing is all done on one eye, and it specifically says that as well. So there's some nice clarification. The other big change is that things were a lot of tasks were combined. So it's maybe not as detailed, but the information is still there. And then Department of Licensing is going to communicate with all schools in early August to share this information. And that the other thing that the committee was very, very serious and asked for was that we have an actual overview again. We haven't had an overview with NIC or DOL Roop for quite a while, and DOL has agreed to do that. And it may be virtual, which might make it easier for all of us, but we will have an overview to go over any changes and ask questions of DOL Roop and NIC. Can you think of anything we missed, Frank?
Yeah, I think that the other thing is the timeline, right? I think that I had shared that, you know, the timeline is important, right? Because they yes. push the information out on the CIB. Yes. And for members on this call, then schools have to process it. Then we have to train our students. And then the students actually sit for the exam. And we were looking at the time frame right now. Right now, we're right in July. And the target that we're looking at right here is going to be in 2024. So it gives us till at least January to be able to look at that. So for the schools that are on here, just to be able to pace yourself, it's not through an expedited process. And there'll be plenty of time to be able to help prepare our students for that.
Thank you for adding that.
I think at this moment here, I know that we do have school members that are on this call. And well, anybody would like to have questions, if you'd like to be able to raise your virtual hand up, then we can go ahead and recognize you on the call here for any questions. All right, I don't see any, but we do have another board meeting prior to this. The proposed implementation in 2024. So I'm sure that through now and the end of the year, if there are questions, we'll have an opportunity on a public forum for us to be able to ask these questions. So with that, I'm going to move on to agenda item number 8.2 under staff reports. We'll go ahead and defer it over to Sandy to be able to provide us a status on the current and closed complaint cases here.
Thank you, Chair True. So what we have here is a snapshot taken in May of the current complaint case counts. We have a total of 36 that are opened. 24 have been sent for investigation. 11 have been completed. Total closed for all years, all units is 21. Open in compliant intake is at 11, and open in the investigation unit is 98, and open in legal compliance unit is 48. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. I would like to add real quick that we are developing some new report procedures. And starting next year, we may be able to start also talking about what the top two or three complaint subjects are.
Okay. So, Sandy, I have a question for you. So under the first line, the total cases opened, I know that this is a month snapshot here. So mm-hmm. is that only in the month of May, or is it a trailing?
So it's count. It's trailing. So okay. It's from January to May.
January to May. So
and this was okay. just the snapshot that was taken in May. And I see Evelyn Manley Rodriguez has her hands up, and she may be able to give a little bit more information on this.
Okay. Thank you for allowing me to speak on this. In terms of the question, this is a snapshot for all cases open in May only.
Thank you for that clarification. I was a little confused. Thank you.
So I was curious. So if it's a snapshot for only in May, which is helpful for May, but how do we go ahead and see what happened prior to May or even in June? I mean, July, we're currently in there, so I don't expect that. But is there a way to be able to, is there a reason that we're only giving a snapshot for May?
So we require the data submitted by the other units a month in advance so we can start building the packet. It takes a bit to build the packet and get those numbers out. So May is the most recent numbers we can get in order to get it into the packet and out to the board members in time.
Okay, got it. All right. So then if that's the case, if this is a snapshot for May, then the cases that were open, 36, 24 of those May cases were then sent in for investigation, or is that a trailing number as well of like a month before? Because I'm just imagining if a case was open on May 28th, right? Investigation might not be set until June, right? And so I just want to make sure we understand how to read this table here.
Go ahead, Evelyn. Thank you.
Thank you for the another question. Great question. So the total open cases for May were 36. Of those, 24 moved on to investigations. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the open investigations unit, that is a total of cases that are still open under investigations for this work. So the work doesn't happen within the same month, but the work may be moved on to the next area of work.
Okay, got it. All right. And then, okay, perfect. All right. I know that that sounds great. Well, thank you very much, Evelyn. I think that's all the questions that I have. Are there any other members part of this meeting that have any other questions regarding the complaint case count? Hearing none, let's go ahead and move on to the next agenda item, which are the staff reports for the licensee counts. I'll go ahead and turn it over to Sandy. If Sandy, you'd like to cover that for us.
Yes, thank you, Chair True. I'm very excited. We are really starting to get some really in-depth and good data that we can share with our boards and commissions. We have, of course, have our total licensee counts that were active as of June 26th. And as you can see, this is just a quick graph to show what the total licensee counts are amongst the different industries within the beauty industry. And if you scroll on to the next slide, we're really excited to, and this might help like really drill down into what is interesting about licensee counts. Mm-hmm. So we are now able to have how many of these licensee counts are renewals and how many of them are new issued licenses. And this is really interesting and can give you as board members, a better idea of the growth of your industry. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. We have a total of 21,527 renewals and a total of 3,862 brand new issue licenses. And that's current as of June 26th.
All right. I see Rajiv has his hand up. Rajiv, welcome to the meeting. Mm-hmm. Rajiv, you're welcome to.
I'm sorry, yeah. I thought I was unmuted. Thank you, Chairman True. A couple of questions. One is I see that the new registrants has been declining. Do we have a sense for why that is, and also why the June number is so much lower than previous months?
And that's a great question. Mm-hmm.
That is a really great question. And since we have just started to collect this data, we don't have any historical theories behind it yet. So this is the type of information that we're trying to get to our board members, in particular the subcommittee, so that they can start diving in and finding out what these trends mean.
Sandy, I have a question.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Sandy, a question here is that for the total new issued, so this counts as not only new students that are graduating that are being licensed for the very first time, but also new licenses that are transferring into Washington State. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
So and new first time issues in Washington State.
All right. Got it. All right. And then I see that Board Member Thomas has her hand up here. Ayana?
Hi, thank you. I have a question. So how do we know which license this refers to? For example, is it barber, manicure, cosmetic? You know, I'm just curious as to which license this is.
That is a really great question, and we're not quite able to drill down that far in this data set yet. This is just something that we've just started collecting this year, and hopefully by next year we'll be able to drill down a little bit better and hopefully be able to provide more information to the board members.
Thank you very much.
We're trying to present, you know, the licensing data in a meaningful and in a meaningful way with a little bit more depth so that we can really start to dig in and understand what some of these trends are.
No, I really like it. I appreciate you guys being able to be able to offer us this data. And I think that will be really interesting to be able to break this data down in the future here. I don't see any other hands that are raised. So I think we're good. Okay. And this was licensee count, right? So the next one I would assume is inspection updates.
Okay, excellent. So there are now three modalities that we are using in the compliance inspection and audit unit that they're using for inspections. The first one is virtual inspections, and these came about in early 2020 due to COVID. And we are going to continue to utilize them. Virtual inspections means it's in real time. They inspect the records and they use video conferencing tools. Another one that's coming and is called self-certifications. Self-certification is an attestation inspection form where the licensee goes over the licensure, safety, and sanitation rules and requirements within all cosmetology law upon completing their response. And that confirms that the licensee is in compliance with specific practices. And then there's also field visits, which are live and in-person visits, where the inspector travels to the location to inspect a licensed location. If you can go on to the next slide, Sandra. So let's talk about a little bit about the determining factors and the criteria for which type of inspection is given when. And the guidance is typically as follows. For virtual inspections, they're typically used for brand new licensees, offering them a chance to interact with and meet the Department of Licensing staff. It's also a great opportunity for some one-on-one time to ask questions and to receive technical assistance. The second one, self-certification forms, they're typically sent to licensees who have had field visits in the past. They would typically be locations where there is a history of passing inspections with few or no serious infractions. And then the final is field visits, where typically they're conducted where there is a virtual inspection isn't really a viable option. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. So, okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, and I just wanted to share too, is that, I wasn't aware. I think with Sylvia and I were talking about, and Shauna too, we weren't aware of the self-certification process, the option, right? I wasn't aware until that was an inspection that was presented to me, on the user standpoint. Like it was very simple, right, to be able to go through that, and which I appreciated. But I it does make me feel a little uncomfortable though, to the whole self-certification option, right? Is that, I just wanted to be able to express that, is that I understand the intent of it. I think that it does make it simpler, but it does make me a little uneasy to know that, you know, that people are, you know, and I take pride in my facilities and following the WAC and the WAC, but I just wanted to express that. And I think that was something that came up on the subcommittee discussion. So I see that Sylvia, Vice Chair Garcia has her hand up as well.
I also wanted to piggyback on what Frank's saying, and I do feel a little bit better knowing that there's criteria for each one of these, and that a self-certification isn't going to be sent to everyone, and rather be sent to people who've demonstrated that they are following the process. But I think as a school, I really like the inspector showing up and my students seeing the inspector and seeing the school being held accountable for being safe and sanitary and showing students that all those things that we're teaching them really do have a need and really are expected. So I guess that's my two cents.
Thank you. And inspections will still occur every 2 years. Just the modality might be changing. Are there any other questions or comments?
All right. I don't hear any.
Okay. Thank you.
So let's go ahead and go over the, the master action item, right? Master action items here. And so I'll turn it over to Sandra to be able to cover that.
Chair True, I see Ayanna Thomas has her hand up. Perhaps that was a question on the last.
Thank you so much, Ayanna.
Yeah, it was a question for the last one. Just really quick. So the inspections, is there a choice? Like, do we choose, you know, whether we're going to do it through a form, a virtual, or a field visit? Will we be given a choice? How? Because as Sandra was saying, I also would prefer in a field visit for my students.
That's a great question, and I don't have the answer to that right now. I can take this back to our inspection team, and then I can report back on it at the next meeting. But I would tend to think that self-certification, there's clear criteria. You have to have a history of passing the inspections with few or no serious infractions in order to qualify to take that.
Yeah, thank you.
Perfect. Yeah. And I think that, you know, salon spa owners on the, or operators on here, if you have comments at all, feel free to forward those over to Sandy as well. I think that it's just, and I think that would be a good topic for us to be able to talk about either in support or just other thoughts.
Absolutely. Would love to hear all the comments.
All right. I see, Laura also has her hand up.
Hi, just that actually was a little bit of food for thought. What about if, in terms of in-person inspections, if a business has changed hands and historically they've done really well, but now there's a new owner, how do you approach that for inspections?
That's a fantastic question. I can look into that as well.
Thank you.
Oh, Evelyn, would you have a comment to make on that?
So I don't have an immediate response on that. That's okay. A really good question, and therefore we might have to do a little bit more of the assessment of that, or a change of ownership will fall into this area of criteria. Good question.
Yeah, great. Thank you. And if there are any other questions or comments, please forward them to our DOL inbox and we can share them with that inspection team.
Yeah. And Sandy, I think this came up in one of our subcommittee meetings as well, is that, you know, with the reorganization of the Department of Licensing, I think for as an advisory board, we're here to be able to assist in some of these initially too. And I think that just having this collaboration really helps us get to a strong endpoint for the industry.
I agree. Thank you.
I know that we have, agenda item number 8.24 for the master action items. Sandra, we'll go ahead and defer over to you.
Thank you. And it's not a long list. Next week or next meeting probably will be a lot longer. But we did have the listing endorsement on licenses, which we covered earlier in the agenda. So that is it. Back to you, Chair Drew.
And then we're good. Let's go ahead and move on to public comments. Agenda item number 9. This item is an opportunity for members of the public to share their thoughts, their concerns, and any requests with the board. You can also submit written comments a couple days, 2 days prior by emailing the DOL boards at the dol.wa.gov. It's on the website. And, or you can ask if any comments, or if you can also send, well, I guess maybe at this moment, I'd just like to be able to ask the staff if there have been any comments that were submitted in writing. So then we could go ahead and acknowledge those comments.
We do not have any.
Okay. So members of the public, while you're addressing the board, please remember a few things. One is each member of the public is limited to 3 minutes for your comments. Comments must be submitted in writing. Comments submitted in writing count towards the 3 minutes. Comments must be in a matter within the board's jurisdiction, and board members are limited to directing staff to study the matter or requesting the matter to be scheduled for a later discussion. So you're not to respond to the public directly on that. I will now open up the floor for the public to address the board. If you'd like to address the board, just raise your hand and we can go ahead and acknowledge you. All right, I don't see any. So I will wait another few moments here before I close the floor for public comments. So the floor is now closed for public comments. We'll go ahead and we'll move to the conclusion here on some announcements. And I'll go ahead and Sandy, are you going to take over the announcements here?
Yes, we do have one announcement, and we're really excited. The Greater Kitsap Chamber wrote an amazing article. It's called The Power of Love and Connection, A Barber's Story, and it features our own Tovey Wilkins and her husband, Ruben. I would really like to encourage everyone who's either attending this meeting virtually or members of the board to please look up the Greater Kitsap Chamber. Find the story, read it. It is a fantastic story. And I'd like to acknowledge that Tovey Wilkins is one of our board members. So it's a great opportunity.
Great. Thank you so much for that announcement. Let's see here. We'll go ahead and move on to agenda item 10.2, request for future agenda items. So, Sandra?
Hey, Tovey. I'm sorry.
Thank you for that. So this is a space where any of the board members can request any agenda items that they would like added to next meeting. I did capture on the business subcommittee report out a piece on the renewal fees for retired cosmetologists. And also clarification from staff on the reciprocity process in light of the new information provided during the enforcement licensee update of this agenda. If there's anything else you wanted to see on the agenda at this time, please let me know. And I also have action items if you'd like me to cover those first. Oftentimes mm-hmm. there's overlap.
Sure. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I do have action item staff to do more research on any additional fees associated with the combined license print, and also to find out how instructors can ensure their license to teach versus operate and work in salons and how the state differentiates that. Also staff to provide a breakdown of renewals and new issues by industry starting in 2024, and this is for the licensee count report. And staff to find out if there is a choice between inspection modalities and whether a business ownership change will impact which option is available to that business.
Great. And then I guess request for agenda items. Do any board members have any additional agenda items that you'd like to be considered for the next meeting? All right, hearing none, I did want to just inform the everyone, the board on this call too, is that both Vice Chair Garcia and I have been meeting with the Department of Licensing, and we've been looking over the budget as well. And so just to be able to let you know that we're in the process of reviewing those and trying to be able to see if there's relevancy to be able to present the department's budget here on this call. And so just a work in progress that we wanted to give everyone a heads up to. All right. I think that that fulfills our agenda meeting here. I want to be able to thank all the board members for their time and effort on attending today's meeting. Your presence is really important. Not only one is that your physical presence, because it allows us to be able to do board business, but also the input that you also extend to. It's critical to what we're able to do here as an advisory board. Our next board meeting is going to be on October 26th at 10 a.m. It will be virtual via Microsoft Teams. If you want to be able to request a copy of the meeting materials, the email is on the slide right here. And so it is now 11:03 on July 27th, 2023, and this meeting is adjourned. We look forward to seeing everybody in the months ahead. Have a wonderful summer, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.